I've noticed one thing about Pastor Hoffman. He's probably one of the most well-balanced men I've ever met in my life. As far as scripturally balanced, man, he's just kind and, yeah, he's a great guy. So you guys definitely have the best thing that I've ever been a part of anywhere. So you ought to be thankful for that. Amen. I'd like to talk to you tonight. Again, it's kind of like a word study, and it's probably because I'm just a dumb redneck and I can't handle much more of it, amen? And may talk a little bit about some doctrinal things, but most of this is going to be practical. I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me and how He gave it to me and how He dealt with me about it, and hope that He does the same thing with you. If you'll turn with me to Psalms 111, I'd like to talk with you about the word mindful. And I was reading through Psalms 111 the other day, and that word just stuck out to me. About being mindful about some things. And Psalms 111. I'll just read the one verse. He says in verse 5, 111 verse 5, says, "He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant." Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, God, for Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You, God, for a place to be able to come together where Your Word's been preached faithfully for so long, God, where the Spirit's right. And we just thank You for this book that You've given us, God. We thank You for allowing us to have a place to be able to come to, God, where Your Spirit's at, Lord. We're so thankful for that. Pray tonight that You'd cleanse us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You'd fill our minds and hearts with Thyself, and that You'd help us to get something, whether spiritually or physically, from this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says that he's ever mindful of his covenant. And I was going through here, and if you ever want a good study, it's too deep for me. Go through and look up the word covenant in the Bible. And man, that is just, it's way outside of my grasp. Amen. But so I was looking at this thing about being mindful. And it starts with a covenant. We know that covenant's what he made back in Genesis 15 with Abraham. And it's a covenant about the land. And that's the first mention of mindful is over in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Just have grace with me. It'll take me some time to get going. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. That's the first mention of the word mindful. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And it says, verse 12, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which He made with Abraham, and of His oath to Isaac." So, and he says in the next verse that it's an everlasting covenant. So back in Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, he makes a covenant with Abraham. You guys know this. I know this is simple stuff. But he makes a covenant about the land being theirs. So I started thinking, you know, if we're going to be mindful, and God puts it 10 times in the Bible to be mindful about some things, He's mindful of His covenant that He made with Israel and the Jews for that land. So if we're going to be mindful of something, I think the first thing we should be mindful of is Israel and the Jews. Amen? A lot of times people don't like Israel and they don't like the Jews. Well, that's the wrong mindset and it's the wrong spirit. Amen? We should be mindful of the Jews and mindful that that land is Israel's. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "Man, you want to get the blessings of the Lord?" And I don't know if this works. Amen? He said, "Find you a missionary to Israel that's over there winning them Jews." And he said, "Support them." Amen? Because those are still God's people. I know you get into Galatians 3, and I know it says that there's neither Jew nor Gentile nor anything in the body of Christ. I understand that. But the Jews are still God's people. So we should love the Jews. If there's any Jews here, let me know, because I'd love to do anything for you that you need. Amen? Amen. The word mindful means attentive, regarding with care, bearing in mind, heedful, observant. Means to take notice of or be obedient or submissive to. So we should be attentive to the things that are going on in Israel. That's still God's land. You know, one day He's going to take that thing back up, right? Amen. Amen. We don't think about Israel and the Jews like we should. I know it says at one time, and I know you can, it's doctrinally out of place, it wouldn't be for us to pray for the peace in Jerusalem. I still don't think that's a bad prayer. Amen. Amen. Okay, so one thing we should be mindful of, God seems to be mindful of His covenant with Israel. One thing we should be mindful of is His covenant with Israel. Amen? And it's a holy covenant. It says over in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 72, when it's talking about the second coming there, Zechariah, I think it is. He's talking about the second coming, and he mentions that covenant. Says in verse 67, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us unto us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform thy mercy promised to our fathers, and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham." That's a holy covenant, man. And we should take notice of that. I think it's a very important thing. But truth is, we really don't. We're more concerned about ourselves nowadays, aren't we? Circumstances. Amen. Our own health. Amen. Taking care of our own families. It wouldn't be a bad thing to find somebody over there winning the Jews, or some Jews, period, amen, to try to be a blessing to. God seems to love them. We should too. So that covenant is made in Genesis 15 and verse 7. And it also mentions again there in 1 Chronicles there in verse 18. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 8. I told you it'd take me a few minutes to get going. I wasn't really going to want to talk about the covenant with Israel. Amen? Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Say Hebrews is the grounds for fellowship. Amen? If you like coffee, that's a good book. Hebrews. Amen? All right, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, you can read all of it. It's all good, but we'll start in verse 3. "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." If you would, turn with me to Hebrews 13. I just want you to notice that we have a better covenant than what Abraham had. Amen? We got a better covenant through Jesus Christ, man. And I'll tell you that we should be attentive to that. The fact that somebody, God Himself, now we're not talking about a good God, we're talking about a great and holy God, came down here and put Himself in this wicked, stinking flesh, man. And He walked perfectly with no sin. So we have no excuses because He knows how we feel about everything. Amen. And He set up a covenant for us through His blood, that we can get into heaven, even if we mess up. Man, I'm thinking about how much of a failure I am and how much of a mess up I am. And God still set up a covenant with me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He still loves me regardless. We as people love people when they do things for us. Or we love people when they agree with us. Or we love people when they set up and do what we think they should do. God ain't like that. He set up a covenant with us and He loves us no matter what. Amen? Because of Jesus Christ. We don't talk about the love of God enough, amen? We don't talk about it enough. Oh, be careful. Next thing you know, He's going to be talking about giving us a house and a car. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel, that God loves you if you're saved. That's a blessing. That's a better covenant. It's upon better promises, man. Hebrews chapter 13, it says in, look in verse 18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience." I still think Paul is the one that wrote Hebrews, amen? Forgive me if you don't believe that. "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." The covenant we have is everlasting too, amen? It says over in John chapter 10 that once you're in God's hand, no man can pluck you out. It says in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." We have eternal security. It's an everlasting covenant. Listen, if there's anything else that we should be mindful of, is the fact that we're not going to go to hell if we're saved. That is a blessing, man. If that doesn't stir your grits, I don't know what will. You don't have to burn for eternity because an everlasting covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ that He set up with you, He set you in His hand, and nobody can take it away from you. My goodness, man. That ought to be enough to go home and have a fit the rest of your life because you don't have to burn for eternity. That's a great thing, man. I don't know if anybody's ever been burnt here. You ever had a fire get burnt on your hand or something? Man, it burns forever. I can't even imagine being consumed by fire forever. I can't imagine it. Well, I don't have to worry about it though, do I? Just like I don't have to worry about the tribulation, amen? Because He's going to come back and get me, and I ain't got to worry about that either. Praise the Lord. You say, well, preacher, why should we be mindful of that? Well, if you haven't embraced your salvation yet, then there's something else more to life than what you've got. Amen? We should be mindful of what Christ did and the payment He made. Now, me, St. Paul, I'll get back to this in a minute. I got saved in October 21st, 2007. I was 28 years old. I was a lost man. I never thought about religion. I never went to church. I'd done everything wrong. Amen? I won't go through my sins because it ain't none of your business. Amen? Probably not the ones you're thinking about that are going through your mind that you have a problem with, but it's still sin. And I was wicked as hell. And somebody came to me one time. I was sitting at a softball game, watching a softball game, living wickedly. And this guy come by, he found a baseball glove out on the golf course. I know that sounds kind of weird, but he's walking by. It's a guy I went to high school with. His name was Nathan Crawley. And he said, hey, Adam, how you doing? I said, oh, God. I don't want to see him. He'd gotten saved, and he's living for God, amen? And he come over there, and he told me about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ saved him and how he, you know, was living for the Lord and how he'd like me to come to church. And he asked me for his phone or for my phone number. I said, sure, man, write it down. And every time that guy would call me, man, it's like the Lord was in tune with it. I was doing something wrong, and I hit the ignore button. That was when only flip phones existed, amen? Ignore, ignore, ignore. Well, it was a couple weeks later after that, September 15th, I had a bad gut feeling. My friends were all going to the beach. We weren't going to be doing the right thing down there. I rode with them down to the beach, and that night when we left, we were in a car wreck. I shattered both bones in my left leg. I broke most of the teeth in my mouth. I broke 5 ribs, and I was dead when they pulled me out of the car. But thank God that church was praying for me. I got put in that ambulance. The girl that pulled me out of the car, there's people that were behind us, said that I wasn't breathing. She said, I just came to, feeling around. She said, I acted like I couldn't see what was going on. And I remember coming to kind of in the ambulance. I remember hearing that ambulance lady say, I've never seen something so bad, he'll never make it to the hospital. Needless to say, I woke up the next day in the hospital, and that church was praying for me. I lost everything. I ended up in a camper trailer, half the size of one of these benches, probably 4 foot wide, with a supposed friend. You know how those friends always disappear? They were never friends to begin with, you know? Let me stay in their camper trailer. He and his girlfriend lived there, and they were some of the most ungodly bunch. I was on pain medication because I couldn't move. Couldn't drive, couldn't do anything. But there was a drawing to God, and God was dealing with my heart. And I told the guy's mother, I said, look, I got to get to a church. I didn't know I could be saved outside of church. I lived in Pensacola for a long time, never heard a street preacher, never got given a gospel tract, man. Believe that. And they're everywhere down there. I didn't even know that. But we got down there and got to that church, and I went one time, and then I came back, and I remember that big, tall preacher. His name was Steve Hart. Not even the right kind of, he'd stuck to the King James and that kind of thing, but I think they were briders now looking back, you know, because they believed in closed communion and that kind of thing. But I remember him preaching that day. He's like 6'7". He's a big, tall guy like Pastor Hoffman is. And he's over throwing that hand. He was preaching, and boy, it felt like his hand. I was in the back pew, back on the very far on the left-hand side. I felt like his finger was going, bam, bam. I was like trying to dodge it, you know. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying something like this. If it wasn't the Holy Spirit, I don't know what it was. Amen? But it said, you're not only on your way to hell, but you should already be there. And I went after the service. I didn't go down because I was on crutches, man. I wasn't going to go down and try to crawl down to the altar. But I went to the pastor afterwards. I said, look, I got to get saved. And he said, come with me to the office. And we went in there and he read me Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, whosoever believeth in the Lord shall be saved. All I had to do was believe. I said, I want it, man. I don't want to go to hell. And I called on the Lord right there. I knelt down on that little musty couch with a broken leg, amen, metal rods in my left leg and all that stuff. I knelt down best way I could, and all I could get out was, Lord! And I sounded just like that, man. And I started crying, busted out in tears. And I said, I don't know what all I said in front of that preacher, but thank God he didn't tell nobody else, amen. I was crying out, asking for forgiveness and asking him to save me and coming in my heart and save my soul. I didn't want to go to hell. And I remember walking out that door, man, on them crutches. And I looked up at the sky, and the sky was blue. And the trees were green. And I'd never seen color before. I relate it like Acts chapter 9 when the scales fell off of Paul's eyes. I never knew what the love of Christ was, man. People wonder why I act so weird. I never grew up without a dad. The only father I got's up there. Amen. And I love him. I don't want to be displeasing to him. We should be mindful of that covenant he made with us. Amen? God's good to us. Very good. And he deserves us to serve him. The least amount of thing that he deserves is for us to serve him. Amen? Thank God he don't give us what we deserve. Amen? We deserve hell. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. We should be mindful of his covenant, not only with Israel, but the covenant he made with us. Nehemiah chapter 9. So I'm just giving you the 10 verses that has being mindful in it. This one he goes through and the people are repenting through Nehemiah 9. He gets over to verse 17. He's telling them in verse 7 that thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abraham and brought us him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave us him the name Abraham. He goes through, he says he gives him the land of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites to give it to them. And he gets over to verse 17. He says, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. We should be mindful of his wonders, man. They weren't mindful of his wonders. Now, I know he did a whole different thing and the signs are for the Jews. I understand that. The Greeks seek after wisdom. I know he's not going to come back and split the Red Sea for us anymore. I know he's not going to come back and bring down the plagues and all that kind of thing right now. He might do it in the tribulation, amen, but he ain't going to do it right now. But the truth is, we should be mindful of his wonders. You say, what wonders? In verse 13, it says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Madest known unto them the holy Sabbath and the commandments, them precepts, statutes, laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. They had the laws. Boy, we've got a better thing here, don't we? He gave us this book that we can go to and learn something about him. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We got a book that tells us all about the one that came down here to die for us. And it's a real book. It's living. I don't know if you've ever got in this thing, man. I'm sure you have being here. But you ever got in this thing early in the morning and then all of a sudden you're thinking about something, you got something going on in your life, and then God just speaks to you out of the Bible. And it's just directly for you, amen? And it may not be doctrinally sound, hallelujah. He'll just speak to you and say, you know what, I got you. Don't worry about it, I got this. I like reading through and he'll say something like, he'll be talking about Israel, amen? Taking them by the hand and fighting for them and all that kind of thing. And, you know, at that time, that's what I need to hear. That he'll fight for me because he set up a better covenant for us and he died for me and he loves me. You know what? We don't tell people God loves them enough. I know he may not love those that are unsaved and the wrath of God abides on them. I understand that. But we don't have the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We can't tell who's saved or not. So we don't get to make that decision. You say, well, by their fruits you shall know them. I know some people that act like lost people and they're saved as the day is old. Amen? Because they got away from the book. They got away from everything else. And they're living just like a lost person right now. And you know what? If my kids come to your house and you whip my kids, me and you are going to have problems. Amen? We should think about the same way about Jesus Christ's kids. If they're saved, we should be very careful what we do against them, what we say against them, and how we treat them. Very careful. Because I can imagine his whipping or his anger is going to come down a lot harder than one of ours would. And we don't know who his children are, man. We should be very careful when we're outside of the church or even in our own confines of our house talking to our family. We should be very careful what we say about people. Amen? You know, the kids pick those things up. You know, we shape our kids' minds sometimes by the things we say. We say the wrong thing about somebody, then our kid thinks that automatically about that person. I learned that the hard way. Amen? I always have to learn the hard way, I guess. Amen? Thank God you guys got grace around here. He gave us a Bible. There in verse 15, he fed them, quenched their thirst. Verse 17 said he's ready to pardon. He's slow to anger, of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. He never forsook them, man. Did you know it says he'll never leave us nor forsake us? Each and every one of us has had somebody in our lives that have walked out on our lives. Amen? But you know he'll never do that. He'll never walk out on us. Boy, that's a blessing in itself. If you, like me, have had some messed up relationships, friendships, and that kind of thing where people just kind of disappear a lot of times, then you recognize that your fellowship with God and your relationship with Him will never be like that. You know what it'll make you do? It'll make you draw closer to the one that really wants to fellowship with you. Amen? He's good. We should be mindful of those things, of His wonders. Psalms 8, verse 4. I'm going to get through it because I'd be here all night, man. There's 10 verses here. Psalms 8 and verse 4. David says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Why is God mindful of us? Amen? Why would he be mindful of man? And why would he put that in there if he didn't want us to be mindful of man? Again, I gave you that a minute ago. We don't know who the children of God are. We should be mindful of God's people. Amen? It says it again in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, I think it is. It says the same thing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We should be mindful. Maybe mindful of the things we do. Amen? You know what? Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. He said, why should we be mindful of the things we do? Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We should be mindful because God's going to bring all those things into judgment. Everything that we've done since we've been saved is going to be thrown into the fire, the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? The motives are going to be checked. Everything's going to be checked. It's going to be brought into judgment. Yeah, we won't get the judgment going to hell. Amen? But our works will get judged. We should be mindful of those things. You know, we think as man, women, children, whatever, we think that we get behind closed doors and in the dark, nobody can see us. But the eyes of the Lord are every place, and He sees the evil and the good. Amen? We think that we can get away from it, but we can't. We should be mindful of the things we do. Boy, if that'll help you. Every time you go to sin, if you'll think about what you're doing, if you're mindful of Him, you'll think, well, what does God think about this? And I'll tell you what, if you can go and drink or you can go and do these things and you can ask God to bless it, go right ahead, amen. I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to go out and ask God to bless something that He don't agree with. Amen? But if you can do that, praise the Lord. We should be mindful of the things we do. It also says that every man will answer for himself. Is that Romans 14? It's 14. 14, 12. Talking about the judgment seat of Christ, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know why we should be mindful of the things we do? Because it may be a stumbling block to somebody else. Amen? I like to watch TV, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather just be honest with everybody, amen? I like to watch TV. I have a problem with that. That's why I don't have TV. So I like to watch TV. My wife hates the TV, amen? I think she'd shoot every one of them she could. She wouldn't say that out loud. She's real kind and meek and all that. Yeah, but I believe she'd shoot them if nobody knew about it. So I can't watch TV because I would be offending her and be a stumbling block to her. That's a good way to think about some things. So if I were going to chew tobacco, amen, somebody that quit chewing tobacco got saved, they quit doing it, I couldn't do it around them even if I thought I was able to do it. We should be mindful of those things that we do because we may be a stumbling block to somebody else. Amen? If I thought my coffee drinking was going to be a stumbling block to somebody, I would quit. I quit for a week when we went down to Roll Off Homes. Amen? Because I thought they were still the same way and they didn't drink coffee, but they all drank coffee. Amen? I was like, pfft. So 3 days later after we got there, I was drinking coffee again. Hallelujah. But I did quit for a week. You ought to be proud of me. Amen? We should be mindful of the things we do, mindful of man. Isaiah 17:10. I honestly don't think we give God the credit He deserves and who He is. Amen? I don't think we recognize how great a God we got. Because if we did, we'd probably be like the old-time Christians doing the old paths and living like we really should. Amen? Don't you think so? Amen. Maybe just be me. I understand when I preach that God has to give me the message and deal with me first. Amen? But don't make me feel like I'm the only one out of line. Isaiah 17:10. Verse 9. In that day, we know it's talking about second coming, shall his strong cities be as forsaken bow and an uppermost branch, what they left because of the children of Israel? Could be the end of the tribulation going into the second coming. And there shall be desolation because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation. It's not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants and shalt set it with the strange lips. He goes into all these things and talking about the second coming. But because we've not been mindful of the rock of our strength. Now, He is the rock, amen? But we're not mindful of Him. We don't think about Him in all our thoughts. The Bible tells us over there in Corinthians to cast down all vain imaginations, and I'll mess it up. Bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And I knew the rest of it. It slipped my mind. But what we don't do is we don't judge our thoughts and those things and bring them unto the obedience of Christ. And we don't keep mindful of the rock of our strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord's our strength, but you can't have joy unless you're in touch with the Lord. Joy is not always an outward thing. Amen? I know some people that look like they eat rocks, amen, and they are joyful in the Lord. You know, they walk around like this, you know. But they're joyful in the Lord. You can't have His strength, man, if you don't keep close to Him and keep Him in your thoughts. We should be mindful not only of Him, but of Him coming back. That's what this passage is about. We got to recognize that the God that set up this covenant with us is coming back to get us. Amen? It won't be at the second coming. It'll be at the rapture. And I understand that's not a Bible word, but it's a calling out. I understand all that stuff. Amen? But let's just make practical application. He is coming back to get us. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. We should be mindful of that. Lester Roloff preached a sermon. I heard him preach it. And he was sitting there and he's getting on the congregation. He said, what if I told you I found out in the Bible that God's coming back today at 12 o'clock? And he's going through, man, he'd start preaching. And he said, 11:50. He'd go to preaching again. He said, it's 11:52. You got 8 minutes. I wonder if we really thought he was coming back, if we would be prepared to meet him right now. Are you prepared to meet God right now? Is your heart and mind completely prepared? Have you done all that you can do for God to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ? I wonder, man. I know I haven't done everything I could do. I've not done it. I try, man. I try. I do more than I probably try to. I try a little harder than I should, man. You've seen. Well, I'll get up and go, man. The Lord opens the door, I'll just get up and go if I can do something for Him. People think I'm stupid for that. But I know one day I'm going to stand before Him and I'm going to have to answer, man, for all those things I've done in my flesh. I want to keep Him in the back of my mind, front of my mind, amen, front of my eyes. What was it, Jonathan Edwards that used to say, stamp eternity on the back of my eyelids? So you're always thinking about what's coming later. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We should be seeking Him. He's seeking heaven. Amen? Speaking of, turn to second. I'll go to the... Yeah. Hebrews 11:15, then I'll come back to the other one. Hebrews 11:15. Hebrews 11:15. So it goes through and it's talking about the faith of Abraham and all that kind of stuff. And then it gets down to 15. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now listen, you shouldn't be mindful of this country. Amen? It's not worth it. One day it's going to burn up. It really is. I know it's nice to have nice things. I like having nice things too. And then when it gets scratched or broke or a dented, then you're like, you don't really want it anymore. Amen? But it's nice to have it at the beginning. But look at verse 16. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall his seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. But now they desire a better country. You know something we should be mindful of is the place we're going. You know, we get our minds so set on the things down here and we forget about where we're going. And we should definitely be thinking about the place where we're going. Amen. It says in John chapter 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One day we're going to be with the God that saved us. There's no sun there, S-U-N. It's just the S-O-N, sun. And He is the light thereof. You read over there in Revelation, it gives you the thing of New Jerusalem, and it tells you all about that beautiful city. My goodness, man. A new body, a new city. If you've ever had any pain in this flesh, man, you know it's about time for a new body. Amen? That body's going to be perfect. There'll be no tears there. There'll be no pain there. There'll be no more sorrow there. No more devil. Praise the Lord. Amen? We don't have to deal with the flesh or the world anymore. We should be thinking about that place, man. They desired a better country. 2 Timothy 1:4. Just some things to be mindful about. 2 Timothy 1:4, Paul talking to Timothy, but God put it in the Bible for us to see it, amen. So I think we can make some application here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, chapter 1, verse 1. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, you can't have life without Jesus Christ, amen. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Psalms 56, verse 8. For sake of time, you can turn over there. It said God sticks tears in a bottle. I think he's mindful of those tears we cry. All those times where nobody knows and we've had things going on. You can't really talk to anybody else but God about it, amen? And you're in the early morning, late at night, and you're up crying out to God and you're crying all kinds of tears. You know, it's not a womanly thing to cry. Amen? God cried. Jesus wept. John 11, 25, I think it is. You know, real men cry. I'm not talking about all these little things, but we know of people that need God. We know of people that are going through things. We should be crying out to God for them. We should be brokenhearted over them. And in tears, man. I walked into this guy's house the other day, and he was just got through with his prayer time. And when he goes to pray, he'll set some tissues out, amen, because he can't get through his prayer list without crying. Boy, if you've been going through a prayer list and you ain't been crying over people, you need to get that heart softened back up. Amen? We become callous. We should be mindful of tears. They're good stuff, man. Psalms 126:5, I'm trying to hurry for sake of time. If God's mindful of them, if Paul was mindful of them, I believe we should be mindful of them. Amen. When the Lord turned again the captivity, Psalms 126, verse 1, the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. You know, I think sometimes it's based on our tears and our crying out to God that some people will get right with God. Believe it, man. I believe it's our tears and our crying out and our prayers that get people saved, amen. And I believe God holds to that thing. And we should go forth bearing precious seed and sowing in tears, man. I know it's sorrowful. Just another day to labor, amen. I know it's tough. I know this world's tough. It eats you up. It spits you out. They hate us, especially when they find out you're saved. Amen. You try to live for the Lord. It's a tough thing to do, tough thing to trot through this world. But God's good. We should be mindful. We should be mindful of Him, mindful of His tears. Last one, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I mentioned it at the very beginning. We should be mindful of Israel and the land. We should be mindful of the covenant He made with us. We should be mindful of the things we do, mindful of men. We should be mindful of God. We should be mindful of Him coming back. We should be mindful of tears. We should be mindful of the country we're going to. And 2 Peter. And this one, most of us, we don't take the stand we should on it, amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You can go through that thing, and it talks about knowing therefore in the last day there should be scoffers and all this different thing. It talks about some other stuff there that's just deep and way too deep for me, amen. But the truth is we should be mindful of the words we got. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. for this generation forever. Preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. We don't need the Greek. We don't need the Hebrew. We've got it all in our language. So dumb rednecks like me can get it, amen? Right here in English. We should love it. This thing is the only tangible thing we got to get us close to the one that died for us. It's the only thing we can put our hands on that's close to Jesus Christ. We should love it. Hey, I found myself hugging it. I don't even like people to touch my Bible. Amen? No, I'm not worshiping the Bible, but it's my Bible. Amen? And I love it. And we should love this thing. We should love the words that God gave us. And we should be very mindful of them. Listen to me. The devil wants to do everything he can to keep you from reading this book. Boy, the things will come in. He tries to keep us from hearing the preached Word of God. He tries to keep us out of the Bible. Because why? Because God tells us just what He is in here. And He shows us just how He works. We should be mindful of the words of God. So, truth is, I'll show you where we're at. Those are some things we should be mindful of. But you know, I found one thing funny. In Deuteronomy 32, did you know unmindful is actually mentioned one time in the Bible? One time. Deuteronomy 32. Now he's condemning Israel here for what they're doing. Look at verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat, kicked, thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. We don't do that. Amen. We don't have strange gods today. Our families, our children, TVs, cars, yeah, jobs. No kind of gods. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked in him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock, capital R, that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. You know, truthfully, there's some things we should be mindful of, but really we're just unmindful of the rock that begat us. We think this life is ours and we can do with it what we want to. And the truth is, it's not ours. Once you got saved, you got put into an army. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We should quit being entangled with the affairs of this life. I understand you have to work. I understand you have to take care of your family. But I guarantee you, if you seek God first in all things and be mindful of the rock that begat you, He will make provision for you. I found that out firsthand. Faith, man. That's a hard thing to have walking in this world. We should be mindful. Father, we thank you, God, that you allow us a Bible to read. We thank you for your mercy, your grace with us, your goodness, your love towards us. And again, Father, we thank you for a place that's a great place to come and get away from the world and hear your words, Lord. I pray that you be with Pastor and Sister as they travel. I don't know where they're at now. I know they're doing a lot of travel. May you put your arms around them, God. Put your presence around them. Protect them, God, if they're on airplanes and all those kind of things. Just help them to get back safely, Lord. Pray for the kids that are in the youth rally over there, dear Father. Pray, God, that they get something. They come back with changed hearts and changed minds and ready to serve you. I pray, Father, that you'd be with the men and women that are over there working and just help them, give them strength, protect the children as they come home on Saturday. Father, we thank you for all those that come out tonight. May you just help us to be closer to you, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Paul, did you want to come take some prayer requests?